FM Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 69th edition of Festival di Cannes. Today I'm in company of Kleber Mendoza Figlio, director of Aquarius, with the protagonist Sonia Braga screening here in competition. You said you wanted to make a movie about archive. Could you elaborate more on that?
I really believe that it's like there are two kinds of people today, the ones that still behave the old-fashioned way, which is, you know, you have your things and you have your books and records and you have your albums and you just have your things at home, and your house is, in a very natural way, your own archive. And there are other people who practice a kind of they have a complete lack of... They're not interested in keeping things. I have a friend, for example, he had a fantastic record collection with vinyls and CDs, and he sold everything, and now all the stuff he has in music is in a plastic box like this, which is a server connected to a small amplifier and two speakers, and his house is very minimalistic. There is nothing on the floor, nothing on the walls. Basically, he has this box with a tiny light that keeps going like this. And I find it very interesting for his complete lack of passion or desire to keep anything, which, in a way, it's very interesting also, because I'm not sure if some of you are like this. I'm the other way. I have my own stuff, and I like to keep my things, so... I always saw Clara's apartment as her archive. It's nothing very original in that idea, but that's where she lives and that's where she has her things. I think Clara is the kind of woman who gets maybe a phone call from a friend asking if she still has that picture that they took in 1991, you know, and she has it. She will probably send the picture to her friend. And then, you know, there's another detail in the film, for example, there's this wood chest, it's like a piece of furniture, and when I wrote it in the script, for me it was almost like a time machine in the film, although it doesn't do anything, it's just there in the corner of the film. And I also, when I saw the film recently in editing, I also thought of the monolith in 2001, because that's it's kind of like an object that suggests time and keeping things, you know, because inside that chest, that's where she puts all her photographs. It's like the most obvious looking archive in the house.
But the things we own also own us, in a sense. I have some 4,000 vinyl records. I've gotten rid of some, so I had even more. Uh-huh. And they're a burden as well, because everyone has a history. I can't give them up. Yeah. And they take a lot of space. And
I mean, what you're saying is very adequate also for the apartment itself, because, I mean, I don't think... I never thought that there would be any problem with the apartment itself. It's more what people make the apartment, turn the apartment into. It's a perfectly simple and nice apartment, but people say that it's old and it should be, you know, she should get rid of it. And but yes. Too many records can become a problem, and I suspect that Clara herself has already dealt with some of that, you know, because it's just not possible that after 35 years getting free vinyl records, she had to do something about handling all of that. But I think the apartment becomes a main problem, and for me it's interesting that there's nothing wrong with it. It's more what people think of it that's wrong. Recently, me and my partner, we were looking for a new place to live, and we found, and this is very interesting, that the places we liked they were cheaper than the places we hated. You know, the places we hated, they were very new and modern and full of, you know, just bullshit from the market, you know. Like there's a new fashionable thing in bourgeois Brazilian architecture, which is a terrace with this fucking kitchen. Not a kitchen, but it's like a place where you can prepare your drinks, and it's like a gourmet terrace, which is one of the most ridiculous things there is. And then I see people, you know, living in these places, and they don't cook, you know. So that's probably the place where they open their, you know, potato chips and a Coca-Cola bottle, probably. So I find it fascinating what the market is trying to give me, and at the same time what I don't want from the market, you know. And I think that's one of the ideas in the film. So it's also an archive of feelings towards things.
The owls also have as an energy for her, I guess that she wants to keep it, also because he sort of, you were mentioning the piece of furniture that reminds her of her hand, that had memories about that. Yeah. So in a way, I felt like she wanted to be like her, in a way of being surrounded by her nephews and family. So it was also a way, I felt it, as to connect with the past in this good way. I was thinking about what you said about the houses. I'm looking for an apartment, and I fell in love with an apartment that the person in it loved it so much and shared it, so I could feel this energy. So I figured that.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part. The second part,
the house got an energy itself, so I think I felt that she was linked to this also because it connected her with her hand, with her past, so mm-hmm. It's a lot of things. It's her memories, but also the things that she feels she's connected to.
Yeah, I mean, it was very important for me that, you know, when I wrote the script and I was directing the film, that she did not come across as crazy, this woman who's sick with nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia is an interesting thing. It's a feeling that I love, you know, I actually enjoy nostalgia, but you cannot, in my mind, you can't be stuck in a cloud of nostalgia your whole life, because it doesn't work. You live in the present, and it's interesting, for me it's important to respect the past, you know, because by looking, understanding the past, I think you have a better life, you know, because if you understand the past, you have a better present, in my mind. And of course I like, enjoy history, I'm the son of a historian, and maybe that's what maybe that's what she programmed in my head, you know, since I was a child. But in a country like Brazil, which is, I mean, historically it's a young country, it's from the Americas, unlike, you know, Europe, there's this constant feeling idea that history is for museums, and they mean that in a bad way, you know. And I love museums, that's another problem. So I think Clara's relationship to the past, I hope it's healthy. I mean, it's healthy good, not healthy bad, you know. And she probably has traumas like everybody has, and she feels very much at ease and comfortable in her place, and then she feels even better when her family comes, which I fear they don't come too often. That's why she's probably maybe too happy or too aggressive when they come. I'm not sure I answered your question.
Could this film exist without Sonia Braga?
Would, but it would be a very different film. It would be almost like, if you had asked me, would you have done this film in black and white? And says, maybe. Maybe I could have done it in black and white, and maybe I could have done it with another actress, but each person that you bring to a film, you know, at least the way I work, I don't believe in generic work in a film, you know. I don't know. Maybe you can do generic work in a bank. Maybe I'm being very prejudiced with people who work in banks. But an actor in a film makes a big difference, you know, because of the personality and because of the way he or she sees the world. And it was very special to have Sonia in the film. And not only professionally, but as a personal experience. It's like I said yesterday, I don't know where Clara ends and Sonia begins. I don't have that map anymore in my head, you know, because I look at Clara and it's not Sonia, but I'm not sure. It's definitely not a complete artificial creation. There is a lot of her in there.
Do you think that Sonia had things in common with Clara?
She has a lot of common things, although Sonia, for example, never had children. So that was something that I found very beautiful, because I look at Clara in the film, I look at Sonia in the film, and I have this strange feeling that she had children, but she didn't. But, you know, they're the same age, of course. I think politically they're very similar. Sorry.
Was there also an intention in the film to show us, to analyze a little bit the Brazilian society? I mean, and it's changing, at least.
Well, I think it comes naturally from the material. You know, I make a film about the Cannes Film Festival, and, you know, and I'll have you giving interviews and looking at the... or doing interviews, and you're as characters in Cannes, we will see Cannes, you know, maybe even in the background, or see the city. It's a Brazilian film, and it's shot in Recife, and it's basically about everyday life, but something happens, and I hope it comes out naturally and as part of the conflicts that the film develops.
Music is an essential part of this film. Was your intention to use it this way?
Music in film is something that I find always interesting to play with. I had a good excuse, because she works with music. She writes about music. So it would be interesting to show, not only to help build her character through her own choice of music, because she's like a DJ in the film, but also to show the dynamics of her, let's say, intellect or her interests, because she's not like I only listen to samba. No, I think she's a good eclectic. I'm very skeptical of the word eclectic, but I think she's a good one. And I talked to Sonia that maybe Clara in 1975, she had this trip to the United States, and she probably saw Queen live in, I don't know, Memphis or San Francisco, and that kind of changed her life, because she was never the same again. And then Queen is a band that she really likes, and then, you know, of course, Brazilian, you know, Gilberto Gil and Maria Bethânia and Roberto Carlos, they're amazing names in Brazilian music. And other tracks, and the opening track and closing track is a wonderful track from 1969, which has this strange, almost like a James Bond theme from that era. Yeah, it's she's like a DJ, and hopefully it works, and hopefully it's an interesting exercise in listening to this, not only to this woman, but to this woman playing her stuff. And I also wanted her to play it live on camera.
Thank you, Kleber Mendoza Filho, for sharing your experience on the set of Aquarius with us. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 69th edition of Festival di Cannes for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.